where we left off last week. And like I mentioned last week, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at what I've called the supernatural life. And I think last week, the couple of things I mentioned was the fact that, look, our Christian life is not a, if I can use the word humanistic alone, it's not just physical. It's even more spiritual than physical. So we're looking at different aspects of our Christian faith from a supernatural perspective. So today we're going to continue with that. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. We'll look at the first part today. Then at the end of the month, we'll look at the second part, because next week we have the convention. And for that one, the women are taking over. So, good morning. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Now, in terms of hearing the voice of God, we're going to be looking at it from four perspectives. Well, we're going to be looking at four things today. So the first is, why do we want to hear the voice of God? Why should a Christian want to hear the voice of God? The second thing we'll look at is the foundations with regards to hearing the voice of God. Certain things that we need to put to rest first before we can proceed about hearing the voice of God. Then thirdly, we'll look at some ways of hearing the voice of God. And I put there some ways because it's not an exhaustive list. And what I'm going to focus on, I'll focus on the bits that I know personally. Maybe in passing, I might mention a few other ones here and there, but I just want to focus on the ones that I have that I've experienced personally, so that it will be more, so that it will be real. Then the last thing we'll look at, if time permits, is growing in our discernment of the voice of God. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Our Father and our King, we just thank you for another time in your word. Father, I ask that as we look at your word, let the spirit and the life in your word speak to us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, so the first thing is, why do we want to hear the voice of God? I was just thinking to myself, if you ask me that question before I actually thought it through, I think for a lot of us as Christians, sometimes we might want to hear the voice of God so that we can appear to be really spiritual, so that, you know, people can come to you and, you know, you can say, all right, what's going on with you? Just let's talk to God about it. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. And you let's talk to God and you just bow down and you tell them their life history and all that. That's fantastic. But that is not, I believe, God's primary purpose of us hearing his voice. That's not the primary purpose. And I think we need to be really careful with that. And that's why I'm taking that part first. Because oftentimes we feel that, you know, and I think particularly for ministers sometimes, when you switch on the television and you see, you know, like Christian channels and all that, and you see like the men of God or women of God, which is good, and there are hundreds of people and they're, you know, telling everybody their history and they're doing great works for God, we might think that, well, that's where God wants us to be as well all the time. So what I'm just saying is that that's fine and that has its place. But in terms of hearing the voice of God, I believe that God wants us to have it from a personal perspective first, rather than ministry perspective later, which has its place. Do you get what I mean? So the first thing I want to clarify this morning is that God wants every single Christian, whether young or old, to hear and to discern his voice. Now, why is that? I'll look at one or two things. I believe primarily, there are other reasons, but I believe primarily that one reason why God wants us to be able to discern his voice is so that we can have a relationship with him on a day-by-day basis. I mean, we don't have to turn there. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, that there was a man called Enoch, and he walked with God. And the Bible tells us that he walked with God up to the point that God just took him. God didn't let him die the physical death because he walked with God. I mean, we have, you know, so that was a relational thing. Even God, even Paul, the apostle, said at the end of all the things that he had done, while he was doing all the great works, I mean, this is a gentleman that he's responsible for, you know, a lot of the writings in the Bible through the Holy Spirit. But there was one thing that Paul said that really struck me. And he said that what he aims for, his heart's desire, is that he may know Christ the more and the power of his resurrection. I mean, I would have thought that that kind of guy would have said, you know, I want to win the whole of the Russian continent, which is fine. But his primary purpose, from what we see, was that, look, despite all these things I've done, that God has done through me, and that I even want God to do through me, my main aim, my burning desire, is to know God more. I was just thinking to myself that if I, you know, take it from, again, still looking at why do we want to hear the voice of God from a relational perspective. And I was just thinking to myself just right now that, like, the relationship I have with my wife, like, I have a relationship with my wife. In my office, another person. And let's even look at someone like the president of a country. To other people, he's the president, you know? But to his wife, she's her husband. He's her husband. Do you understand? So he will not say, okay, when he gets home, and to his kids, he will not get home and his kids that are like 3-4 years old, and he brings his presidential office and says, you, I'm the president, you know, do this. They will just look at him and say, hello, daddy, can you buy that toy for me, please? So what I'm saying is that even though there's so many great things that we want to do for God, primarily, God wants us to hear his voice so that he can have a regular relationship with us every day. So that's just the perspective that I want to take it from this morning, you know, because I had to like really clear myself as well, because I was thinking to myself, initially, man, if I could just hear God's voice like apostle, I'll have to probably change my walk to a very slow one so that, you know, you guys, when you see me on the road and you say, good morning, pastor, I'll just say, morning, because man, I've arrived. Let's be honest, sometimes, you know, it can be like that. But that's not the approach. That's not why I want us to look at it from this morning. So why do we want to hear the voice of God? So that's that part. Now, the next thing I want to discuss is the foundations for hearing the voice of God. There are certain things that I believe that we need to really, really settle in our hearts. And these are some of the things that I'm going to mention. The first thing is this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because those who come to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the first thing that we need to really, really, really clarify, or to really come to terms with, is that God wants us to hear his voice by faith. We want to trust and believe that God wants us to hear his voice. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this very categorically before I look at the other things, because, you know, it's very, very easy that we allocate certain things to a high level of spirituality. I mean, growing up as a Christian, maybe I'll be in a meeting and someone will say something like, oh, God told me this. I'll be like, how? I was like, and I'll look at that person like, you know, this person must be really close to God. Maybe the person doesn't even eat like I eat. You remember they have like a, you know, and it was like, man, that is so far out there. Do you understand what I mean? But we need to get rid of that mentality. That it is not how spiritual you think you are, or how, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't be spiritual. But we need to understand first and foremost is that it is not how spiritual you are that determines your hearing and understanding God. And again, I take it back to this example. You know, I believe that God will speak to us the way we understand. I remember when our daughter and our son, when they were younger, like 3, 3-4 years old, or even when they were babies, I was delighted that, you know, I would, you know, tell, I would just, you know, have a conversation and say, hello, how are you? And like, blah, 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 blah. And to me, I was fine with that. Do you understand? I was just so excited that they said blah, 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 blah to me. I think the first word they said was daddy, apparently. Well, we can leave that to arguments. We can leave that to contention, because there's no evidence to back that up. You know, we can leave that to contention. But what am I saying here? You see, God will speak to us the way we understand. And it is not, he's not complicated at all. So we want to really demystify this thing. It is not a hyper-spiritual thing that, oh, I must have done this before. No, 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 no. So let's understand that first. So we're looking at the foundations. Now, the other thing is this. John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said something in John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let's look at the King James Version, if we can. Can you swap to the King James Version? It says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. It didn't say, my sheep will hear my voice once they've done X, Y, and Z. It didn't say, my sheep may hear my voice if they pray properly. It didn't say, my sheep. It said, categorically hear. So what that means is that every Christian that's born again hears the voice of God. Every Christian that's born again, whether we realize it or not, we hear his voice. We do. We all do. So that's the second foundation thing I want to put across here. So that as we look at some of the ways that God speaks from the Bible and experientially, we'll know that it's for us. It's not for the guy down the road or the lady down the road. It's for you and I. So we said that the foundation is one, God. We need to believe that God wants to speak to us. The second one is that the Bible says that we hear God already. We hear God already. So when I say, how do we hear the voice of God as a foundation? What I'm actually saying is, how do we discern the voice of God? How do we know it is God speaking with us? So that should be the topic. So when I say, how do we hear the voice of God? I'm not saying, how do we hear? I'm saying, God speaks to us already, but how do we distinguish that this is God speaking to me? That's what we're looking at. So I've looked at why do we want to hear the voice of God, and just try to clarify the foundation that God wants to speak to us, and he does speak to us. Now, I'm just going to look at some of the ways that God speaks to us. And like I said, there's so many ways, but I've just restricted it to some that I can say personally so that it becomes more real. Now, John chapter 6, verse 63. The first one is God talks to us through the Word, through the Bible. Now, John chapter 3, verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. This is the part that I want to focus on, the B part. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So one of the ways that God speaks to us is when we read the Bible. Now, it might seem like, well, I read the Bible and I don't see God speaking to me. If I read the Bible yesterday and God didn't say anything to me, what are you saying? Well, what I'm saying is that God speaks to us through the Bible. If we read with our hearts and with an expectation. So there are several ways I could read the Bible, you know. I could say, okay, I pick John, and I just read through it, but I'm reading it from a historical perspective, or maybe Pastor has said, we should read the whole of John this month, and Pastor is going to ask you tomorrow, so you want to flip through all the chapters quickly before you get to church. No. That's good, you should. But what I'm saying is this. That's one way of reading it. If we read the Bible with the expectation that as I'm reading this what I'm reading now, God will say something to me. What will happen is this. As you go along, certain things will begin to pop out at you from the Bible. Certain things will begin to pop out at you. There was a time I was reading one part of the Bible. I was reading the Psalms. And as I was reading through it, I came across a part of it where, I don't remember which Psalm exactly I was reading, where God said something about, maybe like, in the time of trouble, I will deliver you, in the time of something around that. And, you know, I've read that before, but on that particular morning, as I was reading that, something just struck me about that verse. Number one, something struck me first. And I now paused and I said to myself, hang on, why is this popping out to me? Then I paused. I now began to ask myself the question, God, are you saying something? Are you going to say I'm going to experience trouble? The reality is, God, I really don't need any trouble now. I'm telling you. I was like, to be honest, I don't need trouble at all. I just want to be cool. But the verse now went on to say that, however, don't worry, because your foot shall not be taken. Okay, and I said, okay, no problem. So even if I go through this trouble, whatever that trouble is, my foot will not be taken. So that was me interacting with the Word of God. And true to it, that very same week, something happened that it was so interesting. But because I had heard that word, I knew that, look, no matter how terrible or no matter how violent this trouble seems, God has already told me that my foot will not be taken. And sure to it, it went on for maybe about a month, and that was the end of it. But I had heard God speak to me through the word. And because of that, I had an assurance in my mind. So everything was haywire concerning this matter. But I knew that I had heard God about this. So I said, oh God, so this is the trouble you were talking about that morning when I was reading the Psalms. And my mind came back to it and said, yes, that's it. But don't worry. Do you get what I mean? So that's that word that was speaking to me. So the word now becomes, after it's now happening, then that word begins to come back to my mind. Then I begin to hear a voice saying, oh yes, but don't worry. Because I've started interacting with that word. So from the word, so many things happen that we read in the word, and it just flips through. Or it might be the case that I'm going along the way, then something happens and my mind reflects back to a story in the Bible that happened to someone. And from that story, it almost becomes like a symbol of what's actually going on. My mind reflects back to that story in the Bible. Then I now begin to understand, oh, so this is what is happening. This is what God wants me to do. That is how the word speaks to us. So anytime I pick up the Bible to read, I'm reading with the fact that God is going to speak with me. Now, God doesn't have to be trouble all the time. Do you get what I mean? It could be just a casual, oh, can I imagine what's going on in America at the moment? Do you know it happened like this? But it doesn't really matter, because these are the kind of things that, do you get what I mean? So it's normal. It's not always, oh, no, just normal, everyday. Do you get what I mean? So that's the word and how God speaks to us through the word. So it's going with that expectation that God's word is alive and it can apply to your situation. Again, for relationship. Now, the other one I want to look at. Okay, let me mention the four, but I think I'll focus back on this one. The other one is what I'll call vision and pictures. Now, when I mean vision, there are two types of vision. There are people who have like open vision where they might be standing and suddenly they start to see, like, it's like another world imposed. I'm not talking about that kind of vision. I'm just talking about vision in our minds in terms of pictures. And this one is quite interesting. And we'll look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. So we've looked at the word. how the Bible speaks to us. Now, at the back of our mind, let's bear in mind that what we're saying is that God speaks to us already, but we're trying to see how he speaks to us. We're trying to discern how he does it. Now, this one I find very interesting. He says, this was a man called Habakkuk. He was a prophet. But there are some pointers here that I want to show us that I believe that once we see it, it is so simple. In fact, when we leave here, go and try it. Very simple. When you leave here, I'm telling you, go and try it. Tonight, tomorrow morning, and you tell me what happened. Now, Habakkuk said something. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, that's King James English. But the part I want to say is that he said in this particular situation that he wanted to talk to God. But notice something. He didn't say, I will hear with my ears what God is going to say to me. He said, I will, where's that thing? Watch to see what he will say. I will watch to see what he will say. Vision and thought. Now, let me explain this to you. So if I just describe this scenario to you now, and I said, think of a wide wilderness with antelopes jumping about. There's a big spring of water, and antelopes around the spring of water, and they're drinking the water. What are you guys thinking about? You have pictures in your minds. Do you understand? So I've just described something to you, but the words that I'm describing to you, you're seeing it as a big picture that I'm painting in your mind. From me, it's a word. I'm expressing it in terms of words, but in your mind, you're seeing a picture. Do you understand? So I'm communicating to you in words, but your mind is seeing it in pictures. Do you understand? So what does that mean? God speaks to us in pictures, in our minds, if we're aware of it. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. So say, for example, we've looked at how God speaks to us through the word, but this we want to look at now. What do I mean by God speaks to us in pictures? Now, say, for example, I'm thinking about something. There's something I want to do. Or let's say I'm praying for someone. And I'm saying, God, you know, what's happening with this person? And I begin to pray. Now, when I begin to pray, sometimes what I do is this. I'm listening to God. And the way I'm listening is that in my mind, and this is not like mind magic or anything, or any of those funny things, no. In my mind, I'm just looking and I'm praying. But what I'm doing in my mind, in my heart, is that I am looking for God to show me something in my mind. I'm looking for him to show me a picture about what I'm praying about. There was a couple that came to our house in Bristol here, and there was another pastor there. And, you know, we're all talking and all that. And then I said, okay, they're about to make a decision in their lives and things like that. That we should all just, you know, pray. And so the other pastor was praying. And as he was praying, I closed my eyes as well. And we're all praying. Well, he was praying and I was listening. But what was in my mind, I was like, you know, God, what do you want to say about, you know, what's happening and all that? And suddenly what I saw was that I saw a tree, a big, massive tree with a lot of leaves. And there was heavy wind. And that wind, and we're talking about just in the space of a couple of seconds, that wind was blowing the tree really violently, but because the tree was rooted, it was just blowing it. Then as I saw that wind blowing the tree in this, you know, picture that I saw the face of the woman that was sitting right in front of us and her husband. So it's not something I was thinking of. So that's what I saw, and that's what I felt God was saying. So when the pastor finished praying, and I said, okay, then I said, oh, Pastor Benson, do you have anything to say? And I said, well, this is what I saw. I saw you know, you, and it appears that you're going through a lot of, there's a lot of trouble around you, and it's really tugging on your mind. However, even though it's tugging on your mind, even though it's blowing you up and down, even though you're like, what am I going to do? And I saw a very worried look on your face. One thing I know is that, and what I believe God is telling me is that this thing you're going through now, it will not topple you. It's a strong wind, but you are rooted in God. But how did I see that? A picture. Do you understand what I mean? Like that. But I saw that picture because as we were praying, I was like, God, what do you want me to tell this person? What's going on? I was in my mind looking, and I was looking for pictures. I wasn't conjuring pictures. I was just looking. I was like looking, like, God, what are you going to tell me about this person? And that picture just came, a spontaneous picture. Not a picture of me imagining. It was a spot. And I didn't empty my mind, mind you. I didn't say, let my mind go like all this meditation. No. My mind is not going anywhere. My mind is conscious. Do you understand? My mind is engaged and I'm looking. It's just like you're talking to me. If you are talking to me now, right, trying to communicate something to me, and I just let my mind go and I just started wondering, my mind, I mean, you'd be like, hang on, bro, I'm talking to you. That's Eastern meditation. No, we don't empty our minds and say, let my mind. No. What you're doing is that your mind is engaged and you're listening with your mind, saying, God, what are you saying? So that God can paint a picture on your mind. You understand? So that's one thing. I mean, there was another scenario as well where was that? There was this other gentleman as well, even in Bristol here. And I was, you know, doing the same thing, praying. It's okay, you know, I think we're going to have a service there. I was like, okay, what about this person? And suddenly I saw another picture of this gentleman. And in the picture, again, I saw his two sons. So in his two sons, I saw like a patch here for one of them and in a patch here, like a silhouette. I said, okay, that's interesting. So I now saw him and I said, ah, I saw your two sons and it seems like, you know, something's wrong with one of them here and that. And the guy said, ah, that his son has heart problem and knee problem. Do you understand? And he was shocked. Do you understand? Because I saw it in the picture. I mean, even in this church, there was a while ago that, again, praying, I saw this person in a silhouette as well. I didn't know who it was. And I said, and all I saw was that the person had a dark patch here. Again, pictures and symbols. The person had a dark patch here. And I said, oh, person isn't feeling really well. But I didn't see the person's face. So here I said, oh, as we're praying, God, whoever has this, you know, whatever, you know, please touch them and all that. The person didn't say anything. Maybe she's not really used to that kind of stuff. Like, you know, it was later when we're now talking. She now said, hang on, do you know that this happened to me a while ago and I went to the doctor? You know what I mean? So she was now saying that. There was another time as well here. I'm just helping us to see examples where, again, you know, praying and looking for God to say something to you. So there was a gentleman that came here as well. And again, I saw a silhouette. And a dark patch here for the person. And when we're praying, I said, God, whoever has this pain here, you know, please. And the guy came and met me. I said, how did I know? I said, how did I know what? That, you know, he wasn't feeling very well there. Do you get what I mean? So again, nothing extraordinary, just really saying, God, what is happening here? And he shows us a picture. The last one I'll say that, and I think we were in church here as well. And just before we came, and I'll say that one with the daughter, the permission of my daughter as well. And we were, you know, same thing. Like, God, you know, what's happening? You know, what's going to happen at the service and all that. And I saw someone, but I didn't see the person's face with a thing here. Actually, I thought it was someone else. So, you know, I came and we're praying. And I said, God, you know, that person that has the tooth ache here, you know, heal them in Jesus' name. But I thought it was someone else. Then she came and met me and said, Dad, do you know it was my tooth that was aching me? I said, so it was you. So what I'm just saying is that what I'm talking about is not far-fetched. It's not something that is out there. Do you understand what I mean? Vision. So what I'm saying is that as we have that desire to communicate with God, I'm telling you, if you practice it, well, there are some other things. It is as simple as that. God speaking to you and I. I'm just going to skip through the other bits and pieces, but I won't go into them. Some other ways that God talks to us is through spontaneous thoughts as well. And that one we can look at Daniel 2. We don't have to turn there. Daniel 2, 27 to 29. The other way God talks to us as well is through dreams. I don't have a lot of those. It's just once in a while that, you know, I have a dream and I kind of like know that it's God telling me something there. So what am I saying here? Hearing the voice of God is, again, just putting our hearts to it, understanding that, look, it's a very simple, well, it's a very easy thing. It is not complicated at all, and that God wants to talk to us. Now, just to close, the fourth thing I'll say is that how do we grow in discerning or identifying God's voice as he speaks to us? Paul said something in the Bible, and he said, In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Which is a very simple, straightforward thing as well. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It says, but strong meat belongs to those that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses. Have their senses exercised to discern what is both good and evil. And I'll stop in a minute. How do we increase in our ability to discern God's voice? Exercise. Practice. So what does that mean? That means if, as we've said all these things now, you go home and you pray and stuff, and maybe God shows you something about something, write it down and just see how it pans out. Do you understand? Write it down and see how it pans out. Now, later we'll look at the gifts of the Spirit, like word of knowledge and all these things. And there's sometimes that maybe God shows you something about someone, but there are a lot of parameters around that. Even if you're not sure, you know, there are quite a few parameters around that. But in your own personal life, just write it down and just see how it pans out in your life. And as we do that, if I use the word practice, we become more familiar with God, with how God speaks to us individually. All right? Let's just pray.